Valentine's Day, Sunday, February 14th. Lucy came bouncing in this morning to give her daddy a box of peanut brittle for his Valentine. No thanks from me. She and Linda Bird had given me sweet Valentines. And I'm delighted that I got one from the Secret Service. Who knows you better? We went to the National City Christian Church. And then when we were returned home, Lyndon went to bed. This is a wearying office. The decisions and worry, more so than the hours put in, by all odds. But I am restless and have no wish to go to bed. Dave is spending the weekend with us.
He and Linda.
And so about 2:30, he and Linda and I went to the National Gallery of Art and spent more than an hour looking at the drawings of John White, who accompanied the expedition to Roanoke Island and painted all the flora and fauna and inhabitants, from sand crabs and pineapple, he must have encountered those in some West Indies stopover, to Indians in war paint. And then the Flemish artists, Rembrandt and Frans Hals, and Van Dyck and Rubens. And Linda gave me the benefit of all her art courses, with a thumbnail sketch on each. How glad I am that she likes it. Sources of joy that are free and imperishable, music and art. I want her to own all such riches. Every now and then, a little flurry of whispers followed me, and glances exchanged between the other tourists. But mostly, I think, I was quite anonymous. We had asked the Bob McNamara's, and the Bill Fulbrights, and Tom and Nancy Mann to come for dinner early at 6, because I wanted that hard-working Bob to get home in bed before 10. A success story is hard to come by in the foreign field these days, but it looks like Latin America, and I speak perilously and timorously, would just about qualify as a success story. And the chief architect is Tom Mann. Lean, ascetic, a sort of Lincoln-esque face, and a bit hard-boiled. I believe he's added to the idealism of the good neighbor principles some tough realism and the ability to say no. During the course of the evening, he used the statement, "The policies of Cordell Hull were necessary in the 30s, all right in the 40s, they were tolerable in the 50s, and they are impossible in the 60s. Ah, how comfortable the job of senator looks from this vantage point. Bill Fulbright can disagree with everything that happens in Vietnam, and he doesn't have to come up with the answer of what to do. We had an early good dinner, roast beef and mushrooms. Bob McNamara told me the results on one of the beautification letters I had sent to him. A man in Dayton, Ohio, had protested that there was a graveyard for junked airplanes bordering the highway and that it belonged to the federal government. I'd asked Bob if he could do anything about it. He'd sent someone from the Defense Department out to see it, had arrived at the conclusion that it was an unnecessary blot on the landscape. The number of junk planes could be reduced, and they could be put farther from the highway where they would be screened by a row of trees. And furthermore, it was on the way to being done. Lennon's liking for him is so evident that I almost fear it may make other people gang up on him out of jealousy. He has said, if I got word that Bob had died or quit, I don't believe I could go on with this job. It was good talk, ranging over the field of balance of payments, interest, and international affairs. On international finance, when speaking of William McChesney Martin, Lyndon said, he's done God. I never could manage that. When I was minority leader, I always had to figure what Taft would do. And then when I was majority leader, I always had to try to work out something that the other senators would follow me on, and so forth and so on. It was a satisfying evening and an early to bed one. By 10 o'clock, the guests were all gone.